Good morning.
Good morning.
If I may, before I begin, I feel I have to apologize. I'm hearing a lot of murmurings about, were we supposed to have communion? Were we not going to have communion? Because it's on the church calendar in the newsletter, and it's my fault. I failed to follow Proverbs 3, verse 5. Lean not on your own understanding, because it was my understanding and mine alone that we were going to have communion because Easter was so busy. And I told our church secretary, put it on the calendar, and there it was. And there's no communion table.
It was just your understanding. It was my understanding.
Well, because I brought it up.
Yeah, but I got a stone. So if anybody wants to stone me or Peggy, we got a stone right here. She's not getting stoned without me getting stoned, because it was my understanding, too.
We'll stone each other.
Sorry, I'll just sit down.
I do apologize. So let's peek in on someone else who thought he leaned on his own understanding. Poor Thomas. From the book of John, chapter 20, starting at verse 19. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." A reading of the word.
Thank you, Miss Peggy. Have you seen that political, it looks like a political cartoon, but it's a cartoon of Thomas and Peter. And Thomas says to Peter, "They don't call you denying Peter. Why do they call me doubting Thomas?" It is true. We do give Thomas a bad rap. Let's pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, you might not believe it, but I had my first leadership position when I was just about 17 years old. And I was put in charge of 15 high school students who worked as shelvers at the Shaler Library. And when you get a leadership position, one thing I didn't expect, but since then and continuing to today, do you know how many hours I have spent writing letters of recommendation for people? Once you get any kind of, if you're somebody's teacher, if you're somebody's supervisor, you're somebody's boss, I have spent so many hours, more hours probably than I've spent sleeping, filling out evaluation forms, providing references over the phone for people applying for jobs, scholarships, colleges, you name it. And way back in the day, it used to be the old-fashioned way, where I'd have to find a stamp and an envelope and send it all back. And I guess I was much more organized then. Now I can't even imagine putting that all together and getting something mailed. And there were phone calls back in the day, but things have changed. Now they come in internet forms. In fact, the last one that I did was text messaging. I've even used apps. The formats have changed, but the questions are pretty much the same. What makes this candidate stand out? What areas can this candidate improve upon? And of course, no matter what the job is, it seems, or position, describes this candidate's leadership skills. And this is one you have to be careful with, because you don't want to say that they're a really, really great leader, because then that might imply that they're a really, really bad team player. But if a good candidate is going to have high quality leadership, what does that look like? Just think for a moment about that. How would you describe what you are looking for in a leader? When you're hiring your next pastor, when you're looking for a good school principal, if you're going to be voting for your next president of the country or president of your homeowners association or garden club, what kind of characteristics do you want in a leader? And the answer is probably going to be different for everybody, nuanced a little bit. But according to polls and studies and all of those things, the traits that are most often listed, people want in a leader confidence, assertiveness, and ambition. That's what the studies say. Do you agree? I guess it does depend on the kind of role you're looking to fill. But what if you're looking for a leader? You're in that decision-making process, trying to choose a leader to guide you in all the aspects of your life. Confidence, assertiveness, ambition. It probably depends on where you are in your current state of life, too. Imagine yourself as one of the disciples in the room, locked behind a door, hiding behind those closed doors. Even though Jesus visited you last week, offered you peace, breathed the Holy Spirit into you, and said, "I'm sending you out, like God sent me." Like, do you want a confident, assertive leader to come on in and show up full of that, assertively chastising you for still being locked in the same room for the last 8 days? Is that what you want to hear? What if you're Thomas? And you're thinking that everybody else has seen the risen Jesus and I've been left out. And you want your turn to see Jesus victorious over death. Do you want your leader, your Jesus, to stride into the room and confidently criticize you for needing proof? Would any of us feel good sitting here in 2026 with the world that seems on fire in so many different ways? Again, these opinion polls are whatever they're worth. But apparently 69% of Americans, the thing that bothers them most about the Iraq war, the war in Iran, is how it's going to impact their price of gas. And 45% are most worried that too many civilians are dying in the war. Do any of us sitting right here now worried about the surgery that's coming up, about the decisions that we have to make? So many of us who have people in our lives struggling with a new cancer diagnosis, struggling with our own addictions, depression that grips us and won't let us go. Do we want a leader of Jesus who's going to just stroll in here like Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk or Mikel Arteta and confidently and assertively, even arrogantly say, "This is just a blip. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You're too blessed to be depressed. Quit your whining. This is nothing to come compared to the good stuff. Let's go again." Do we want that kind of leadership? Because if we do, we don't find it in Jesus. Because Jesus comes to visit his fearful, hurting, hiding, questioning disciples with compassion and tenderness and mercy, and guess what else? Wounds. Jesus shows up after the resurrection complete with the wounds that were made in his hands and his side, and he displays the visible reminder of the scars that abusive power and hate can and do inflict. Jesus standing there is tangibly displaying evidence that the cruelty of the world that so many of us have experienced, so all of God's people have experienced and are experiencing, it is real. We have a God who didn't run from cruelty or evade it. He could have. We have the person of Jesus of Nazareth, the incarnation of Christ, who was vulnerable, who did not retaliate against his enemies with violence. Remember when Simon Peter, he cut off the ear of one of the soldiers who were arresting Jesus, and Jesus, our leader, chose to heal that soldier instead of allow him to be maimed or killed. Our leader did not make fun of Thomas for asking to see him, didn't ridicule the other disciples for still hanging out, afraid, behind closed doors. Does that make Jesus confident, assertive, and ambitious? Do those words describe this man that we've chosen to be the leader of our lives? I don't know. But I do know words that do describe him pretty well, I think. Tender, compassionate, vulnerable, wounded, and merciful. And regardless of whether or not we see vulnerability and tenderness and compassion and mercy as qualities of a good leader, we have to admit that those qualities made Jesus victorious. And they bring victory to you and me. Victory despite the wounds of our world, of our bodies, and our soul. our wounded, victorious leader, the one that we claim to follow, can be followed to assured peace. And may it be so. Amen.